Our scripture reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, we're reading verses 12 to 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and verses 12 to 16. Let us hear the word of God. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went the fame of him abroad, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. We thank God for the reading of his precious and holy word. I want to consider with you this morning in these verses this well-known account of the cleansing of the leper. Leprosy since the 19th century has been referred to as Hansen's disease because of the doctor who identified the molecular makeup of leprosy. And we read that Hansen's disease affects the nerves, loss of feeling or sensation. Injuries such as burns go unnoticed because you may not feel the pain that warn you of harm and so on. If left untreated, the signs of advanced leprosy can include paralysis, crippling of hands and feet, shortening of toes and fingers due to reabsorption, chronic non-healing ulcers on the bottoms of the feet, blindness, and so on. I want to consider with you in these verses a fearful condition, a faith in Christ, a full cleansing, a firm charge, a famed convergence, and a focused concealment. First of all, a fearful condition. It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. The man's condition was fearful. He had leprosy that we've already explained and defined. But he was full of leprosy, not just at the early stages, but this disease had completely taken him. It had completely made him its own. The application is, we are not just sinners, but we are full of sin. One of the things you notice about leprosy in the Gospels is that when it talks about other diseases or other things, it talks about healing. But with leprosy, it talks about cleansing. Because leprosy is the clearest metaphor, the clearest example in the Gospels of the principle of sin. So not only did this man need to be healed, he needed to be cleansed. The man was in a city who was wanted by no one. He was the loneliest man in town. His condition was incurable. His condition made him despised by others and despised by himself. And just like that, sin had left us having no hope and without God in the world. The man at this point had only one escape from his leprosy, and that was death. Leprosy made his life a living torment, a living hell. What leprosy does to the body, sin does to the soul. Sin is the leprosy. Yes, the cancer of the soul. It will eat away at the life of a soul until it leaves a man wanting death to escape its grip. Think of Judas and so many others who take their lives because of sin. COVID is not the virus to be dreaded, but sin is. Leprosy is the disease of the body. Sin is the disease of the soul. A fearful condition. We gather this morning, yes, as the people of God, but as sinners. And we are conscious, even in the days past, how sin has its awful effect in our lives. It brings us depression. It brings us grief and a sense of our need for God's mercy. And that brings us to our second point. We see not only a fearful condition, but a faith in Christ. It says, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There are five wonderful aspects of faith in Christ in this short phrase. First of all, he saw Christ. He saw Jesus. And in Hebrews and other parts of the New Testament, it emphasizes this principle of seeing Jesus. We see him. We fix our eyes upon Jesus. Colossians tells us that if we've been raised, that we are to set our affections on things above, to look to Christ. And here, this man in this fearful condition, this hopeless condition, sees Christ. But secondly, he falls down before him. Mark's gospel, in Mark's account, tells us he was kneeling down to him. Matthew says, he worshipped him. Fell down before Christ. This morning, as we gather, not physically, but in our hearts, we fall down before him. Because we have been given a sight of the Savior, we do in our souls bow down, we kneel, we worship him. Thirdly, he besought him, confessing his need, seeking Christ for his greatest need. He was not seeking Christ for secondary things. He was seeking Christ for the thing that he desperately needed, and that only Christ could give him. And that was cleansing from this terrible disease. We come this morning to one, to the only one who can help with the leprosy of our souls. But fourthly, he confessed him. He confesses him as Lord. He says, Lord, if thou wilt. The scripture tells us that only by the Spirit of God do we confess Jesus as Lord. Here this man shows all these signs of saving faith, not just calling him, as many did, good teacher or master, but Lord, Kyrios, Lord, if thou wilt. And fifthly, he believed him. Thou canst make me clean. He believed Christ could do this miracle. He fully believed that it was purely based upon the desire and will of Christ, that his state and his salvation was in the hands of the Savior. And therefore he saw him. He fell down before him. He besought him. He confessed him. And he trusted in him. But then thirdly, what his faith leads to, a full cleansing. a full cleansing. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Notice three things here. First of all, the touch of Christ. Christ put forth his hand and touched him. What an amazing thing in itself. Probably one, on a human level, probably the most amazing part of this account. Because nobody would touch a leper. We live in a time where you cannot put your hand out to shake someone's hand out of fear that they'll be offended. Here, Christ does not touch somebody with the flu or with COVID. Here, Christ touches a leper. An awful disease. The shunned of society. People would run from them or would take up stones to stone them to get them away from them out of fear of this disease. But Christ touches him. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a savior who stands at a distance. He's not one who just hands out a prescription through a window. You know, one of our local pharmacies, you can't even go in. You have to hand your credit card into the window and they won't come near you. Here Christ touches this man. The words, beautiful words that somebody once wrote, shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. The touch of Christ. You see, we need a Savior who is willing to come all the way to us and not to stand at a distance. That's our Savior. That's our Christ. But secondly, Christ commanded his cleansing, saying, I will be thou clean. Now, this is amazing. Because this proves that Jesus is nothing less than God. Jesus says, I will. I command your cleansing. It's not that he prayed to God for the power. He made a decision that this man would be cleansed. Every prophet who had miracle powers by the grace of God in the Old Testament and the apostles did it not by their own will, but here Christ cleanses the leper by his will. Therefore, he is God. The power was in him to do as he will. Christ commanded the cleansing. But then thirdly, the cleansing was instantaneous. It says, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. It was gone. In an instant, in a moment. It's one of these words that appears in the gospel, especially in Mark's gospel, quite a lot. Immediately. The very instant. By faith in Christ, the moment we trust in Jesus, our sins are gone. Our sins are gone. Doesn't mean that we won't have trouble in this world or difficulty in this world. The leper was cleansed, but he still had to live in the world. But the leprosy was gone. Our sin is gone. Christ has touched us. We have seen him. We have confessed him as Lord. He has touched us and we are cleansed completely, fully forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fourthly, a firm charge. Verse 14 says, he charged him to tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Again, there's three things here. There's the negative part of the charge. He's to tell an old man, Christ was not seeking notoriety. He was not seeking fame. Today we have pretend heroes. Where are they now? Where's the Benny Hinn's now? Where are all these men who claim to have power over sickness? Where are they? And I know I said this last week, but it's worth saying, I think, every week. You know, the pretenders have been exposed, haven't they? They can do nothing. Here Christ could literally walk up to a leper, touch him, and command his cleansing, and immediately he is healed. These pretenders are charlatans. But our Savior is the healer, not just of bodies. He's the healer of souls. Christ, even now, is here with us because he says where we are gathered, there he is in the midst of us. And all it needs is for us to cry out to him, Lord, I need thy cleansing. Lord, I need thy touch. I need thee and thee alone, for no one else can help me. Like the woman who had suffered many things of various physicians, but one touch of the hem of Christ's garment, and she's healed. The positive part of the charge, go thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded. Christ was not here to ignore the law, but to fulfill it. And this is an aspect of the fulfilling of the law. But Christ, in doing this and saying this to the man, as it goes on to say, for a testimony unto them, Christ is saying the fulfillment of all the ceremonial cleansings is here. I am the cleansing. Yes, the ceremonial laws and all the cleansings in the law, they speak of me. And as you go, as you who were once a leper and go and stand before them, you will be a living testament to them. You will be a living witness of my power. Now, brothers and sisters, it's no different with us. Yes, we didn't have leprosy, I hope. But we're sinners. And when Christ cleanses us from sin, we become the living proof of the power of Christ to change the soul. The living evidence that Christ can take a hell-deserving sinner and change him or her into a saint of God. One who was going to hell is now going to glory. Why? Because they met Jesus. Just like Paul on the road to Damascus, going to persecute the church, going with letters to bring persecution on the church, he meets Christ and he becomes the greatest preacher the church has ever known. Christ is the difference. Christ makes the change. They would be left without excuse. One of the amazing things, they would be left without excuse. They saw the evidence. And they were inexcusable. And yet they still rejected the Savior. Fifthly, a feigned convergence. But so much the more, verse 15, so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Again, not like the pretenders, not setting up a meeting and all controlled and having their stewards and bodyguards and so on. Christ in the midst of the multitudes and healing all of them of their infirmities. In Mark's account, it says that the man, the leper, went out and began to publish it much. He couldn't help but speak of Jesus. It's not that he was being necessarily disobedient, though you could argue that. But that's not really the point. He couldn't help but say what Jesus had done for him. He was at the point of death, he was full of leprosy. The pain, the nerves, the anguish, the intense pain of leprosy was gone. The suffering was gone. His limbs had grown back. He could see his hands and his feet and all his body restored in a moment. He couldn't help but speak of Jesus. Look what he did for me. Look what he has done. The Lord Jesus said to the Gadarene demoniac in Mark chapter 5, "Go and tell what great things the Lord has done for thee." He began to publish as much as Mark, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And again, this reminds us, doesn't it, of the reason why the Jewish leaders hated him. Because there were the Jewish leaders in the temple, the Sadducees in the temple, the Pharisees in their court, and so on. But nobody was coming to them. Jesus, like John the Baptist, is out in the wilderness. No great cathedral, no great pomp or ceremony, but all the people were seeking for Jesus. Why? Because they knew he had the power. He had the authority. They knew that he was Lord. I was going to stop at that point in the message, and I think in the WhatsApp group I said 12 to 15 in the verses. But actually we can't stop at verse 15. We must go to verse 16. It says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Here was the Lord of glory, the one who had the power in an instant to cleanse a leper at the point of death. And here he is surrounded by the crowds, but he withdraws himself and prays. He sought God, not fame. He sought the sanctifying presence of God, not the demanding presence of man. This was his great power, fellowship with God. That's why we're here. You're not here to hear a man, you're here to meet with Christ. It's Christ that we look to. It's Christ that we worship. It's Christ that we need. No man ever walked in the full armor of God like Jesus walked. He walked with power. He spake with power. He done miracles with power because he was in full fellowship with his God. Brothers and sisters, friends, we lack power because we do not meet with him, because we do not see him, because we do not keep our eyes on Jesus. Like Peter sinking into the waters because he took his eye for a moment off Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to him. Consider him, lest you grow weary and faint in your hearts. Coming boldly to the throne of grace, so that we might find help in our time of need. You do not have, James says. Why? Because you do not ask. We need to learn to withdraw ourselves continually from the crowd and seek God. One of the great problems of this time is that men are trusting in the science. I'm not saying we should ignore science, but they're trusting in the latest report from this scientist or that scientist, from this doctor or that doctor. And they're not looking to God. They're not looking to the one who is the great physician, the healer of our souls. A fearful condition. condition of faith in Christ, a full cleansing. May God bless His word. Let us sing from Psalm 124. We'll sing the second version, the bottom of page 268. Psalm 124. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained, when cruel men against us furiously rose up in wrath to make of us their prey. Verse 6, but blessed be God, who doth us safely keep, and hath not given us for a living prey. Our enemy was not flesh, our enemy was sin, and God has not given us for a living prey to sin and to its tyranny. Psalm 124, sing the second version, the bottom of page 268. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not a cause maintained, if that the Lord had not a right sustained, when cruel men against us furiously rose up in of the fallen snare. Considered this account of the cleansing of the leper. Father, we stand in thy presence as those who are in need. The need is greater, the need of the soul. Therefore, O Lord, we thank thee that Christ has come into this world to encounter those with great need. O Lord, as we, like that woman, reach out to touch Christ, we long for Christ to reach out his hand and touch our souls. O Lord, we thank thee that Christ has saved us by faith, that we do confess him as Lord of all, one King, one Lord, one God. And therefore, our faith, our hope, and all our confidence is in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We bless the name of Jesus Christ. We worship the Lord of glory. Blessed be God, who has not given us for a living prey unto sin, its tyranny, but has rescued us from the grasp of Satan and has brought us into fellowship with the living God. And therefore, we praise and bless him. O Lord, draw us closer to thyself this day, this first day of the week, this Lord's Day. May we know thee and thy power to cleanse. And now the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon God's people. Amen.